charging stations at the windmill.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
Give yourself a quick boost.
So for people that are interested, there will be a meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the Elks Lodge. Guy, from a presentation on offshore wind. And then on the 25th at 4 o'clock at the community college in the community room, there will be a roundtable discussion led by David Brock Smith on offshore wind energy.
What was the first one you did?
The first one's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the Elks Lodge. South Coast Fisherman is going to have a guy come down and talk about it. Okay, so we will call the meeting to order. This is a regular commission meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission, Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Danielle, roll call, please.
Larry.
Here.
Joe.
Here.
Richard.
Here.
Ken and Sharon are absent.
Danielle, I'm online.
Are you online,
here.
Sharon?
I'm Sharon.
Sharon, are you?
I am online.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda? I see we have a substituted a new agenda.
Yes.
Okay, are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the new agenda? Okay. Anyone need to declare a potential conflict of interest?
No.
No. Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda as written.
All right, sorry, guys.
Okay, we have a motion to second to approve the agenda. No further discussion. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Aaron?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Brings us to the approval of the commission or the meeting minutes. And before we have 3 minutes or 3 meetings, a special meeting on April 4th, the regular commission meeting on the 20th of April, and the special commission meeting on May 6th.
Motion to approve the minutes for Monday, April 4th, Wednesday, April 20th, and Friday, May 6th.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to approve the set of meetings. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe? Richard?
Yes. I would comment, Danielle, on the verbatim minutes.
Thank you.
They're interesting reading. That's a lot of work. Appreciate that. You did that. We'll try not to do that too often.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to public comment. I have none in front of me. Are you aware of any?
I am unaware of any.
Okay. And we'll move to manager report, starting with safety and security.
All port staff received CPR, first aid, and AED training by formerly CalOR LifeLife. Their certificates are good for 2 years. For the month of April, we reported 10 incidences, some gear storage pallets, were stolen. Curry County Sheriffs were contacted by the gear storage customers. Two different RVs at two different dates. The wind was really bad. Their chair blew into their fire pit and caught fire. Luckily, the RV park manager was able to put it out with the fire extinguishers that we keep in the golf carts. The fishing vessel Yasnak accidentally had their boat get stuck in gear, and it hit an already questionable piling at the Hallmark Fisheries. Staff was unable to determine the extent of the new damage, but insurance was informed. There was a vehicle that was left on port property that was towed away. Found some hydraulic needles in the commercial basin restroom.
Hypodermic
needles, sorry. sorry. The four aces and the port reported 103 security issues. The stormwater testing was completed. The monthly stormwater testing was completed, and our stormwater testing for the second of the fourth test, that does not make any sense, I'm sorry. The monthly inspections were completed for the stormwater pollution control plan, and the stormwater testing was completed for the second of the fourth quarter. And I wanted to inform you guys of some upcoming events that we have. You can see the Art of the Boardwalk has started. That's going until September 11th. Curry County Cruisers is going to be doing a show and shine for Memorial Day weekend. There will also be the Bigfoot Blues Festival happening on May 28th. And prom will be using our parking lot the night of prom to transport the students up to Salmon River Golf Course. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Danielle? Do you have any comments? All right. That brings us to the April 2022 financial report.
All right, the month-end report for April 2022, our balance sheet, the unrestricted cash and equivalents totaled $542,556. The restricted cash and equivalents totaled $1,214,000, with a total checking savings cash at $1,542,770. So I put in here like a little flashback of where we were 5-6 years ago. As you can see, the numbers were quite low back in 2016. Total checking and savings, we had $69,289. Our accounts payable was quite out of control at $481,527. You look at now today with the numbers I just read, we have improved quite a bit. The April profit and loss per fund, I added this section in here just to give you an idea of the funds and the net profits we had. So total-wise for the all funds for April was $448,956. total expenses was $852,524. With a net income for April, $96,432. Some of the unusual revenues, we did get the $31,600 from insurance to repair the broken pile. Unusual expenses, I got a list there. If anybody has any questions on those, go ahead and ask them. If you like, we had an unusual transfer amount this month. That's in our budget to put in $100,000 from our general fund to supplement our RV park project. So we made that transfer in April. And our profit and loss versus budget performance is still on track. Any questions? Comments?
Just general. Another piling is growth. That be added to the insurance claim, and they'll do two filings at once?
No, that'd be two separate claims if we proceed with it. The piling that they already hit was already damaged, so
right.
I don't know if that's going to be. I'm not sure if that's going to be an insurance claim or not.
Okay. Move to the Harbor Master Report.
RV park, routine maintenance and checks were done daily. There's small fence repairs that are ongoing. Outside Wi-Fi control boxes were resealed. There was water getting inside them. There was one small sewage spill, and there was vandalism to a touchless sink. They ripped the battery pack off the unit and then cut the wires going into the battery pack. So that was a repair. The occupancy, we were down 4.5% from last year. The marina, the inflatable air dancers, we continue to use if the sea lions come in. They still do a pretty good job of keeping them off the docks. Staff made numerous trips to check on boats on the marina, re-tie boats, to make sure the boats were in good condition. Staff pulled out logs and miscellaneous debris and continued to repair broken water lines, generally from movement in the docks or wood and debris hitting the water lines and breaking them. Launch machine, there was 162 launches, down 244 launches from last year. That I would attribute to weather. Telehandler jobs, we did 7 telehandler jobs. We did 7 haul outs. Most of the telehandler jobs all include swapping gear out for the shrimp season. Commercial receiving docks, missing fender pilings on Hallmark and part of Pack Choices dock are going to need to be addressed when funding is available. They're still working for now, but we do need fender pilings on most of those docks. Boatyard warehouse was still being addressed by engineers. We do have that report. Maintenance completed 90 work orders throughout the port. Boat storage near Basin 2 is near complete. It is completed now. Tidewater did the grading in there, and we added cones that can be ran over for the new boat storage parking spots, and they'll help identify the spots and keep them in their area. And the port also purchased 2 used fillet tables from the Crescent City Harbor, and they're installed in the fish station for the charter and guide boats cleaning area. Any questions?
I would just comment that that commercial cleaning area, cleaning station looks nice. Looks really nice.
It's complete and open to them.
Yeah. As soon as somebody comes in and pays the $300 and gets their sticker, they'll get the combination for it.
That's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a leak that I called you about? There was a leak.
Yeah, the 90 broke on the outside going into the. That's broke twice now.
We went over with the staff at how to tighten the 90s, not to over tighten them. They're getting over tightened on the nipples and cracking. It's PVC, but the adapters for the PECs that are inside the walls are brass.
Oh.
And they're tapers and the fittings aren't, so when you start tightening them, they just get to that point. And you can hand over tighten them if you grab them, and they'll just get too tight.
Was your schedule 40?
80. They shouldn't be, but we use them down in the docks, and it's when you put Teflon tape around those fittings and then tighten them down too hard, it's just kind of a feel they just got to get used to. It's okay.
Any other questions or comments? All right, move to the port manager report.
All right, the request for additional funding on the wastewater treatment plant that I talked about, that DeFazio actually asked if we wanted more funding. That didn't happen. If the port needs any additional funding, we have to go outside other agencies or loans if we need additional funding. Just to kind of repeat, the board did approve the wastewater treatment plant design with EMC engineers, and we hope to have some preliminary drawings in the next 45, 60 days. We did have a meeting with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality about the wastewater treatment plant, and they need the design as well and submit the application in order to give us any kind of comments on the plant. So the design is actually kind of holding up the whole permitting process. So Jack is working as fast as he can to get that design done. We're also working on the FEMA project budget approval and repairs, and also looking at getting a bid package put together for the board to approve, put it out the bid and construction drawings. So hopefully that's coming next several weeks. And USDA rural development people came and gave us an inspection on our port. This is a civil rights compliance review and security inspection. They do this every 3 to 5 years, and I'll have more info on that at a later date. So I got that.
Okay. Any comments, questions? Okay. So I'm going to remember now if we need to approve the report. Motion to approve the port manager's port report. All the managers' reports. Got it.
There you go.
I second it. Okay. I have a motion and a second to approve the management report. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to action item A. The Biddler Marine Small Construction Project contract. Sherry?
Yeah, so this is a contract to repair the broken pile in Basin 2 on ODOC. This is just repairing one broken pile. Miller and Nash provided, actually, this is a new contract for construction. So this is a fairly lengthy contract and a lot of wording in it. They provided, they reviewed it. I like the new format. So we're looking for board approval on moving forward with Biddler Marine. One pile.
And will this become our standard contract then, do you think?
I would like to, yes. Yep.
Okay. And at the last meeting, we talked about maybe doing other work when they're here. Have we contemplated that any further?
Yes. Travis and I believe that we should just look at this one pile for now, and then let the dolphins, dolphins still working. If they break, we just make another insurance claim and submit it then instead of trying to add more to this contract. I think that's our opinion.
Okay.
$51,000.
That's the activity.
Who
would be
set,
or would it?
No.
No, each additional pile after that, between $10,000
and $15,000. Okay, so it's just
been set up. Yeah, a lot of it set up. I mean, this price was a good price for us to get them here and do the work, but, you know, each additional pile, like I said, is $15,000. And currently right now, with the amount of other wood pilings in the project, you know, to complete the rest of that work, we're going to start climbing into the hundreds of thousands or over 100,000. And right now, they're not in enough immediate danger to deal with right now. That's why we're just going with the one pilot.
How many wood piles do you have, but to fill up the end?
Five. And the rest of them are okay. We've all known that the commercial side, the NO and P dock, the docks, the pilings are the shore pilings. So if we're going to look at pilings over there, we need to look at that more as a whole instead of individual, just piece in one piling here. The only reason we're going to do the one is the broken one, and we're losing money on revenue for the flip. So we'll go with that, and like I said, at a later date, we'll look at other pilings.
And the insurance payment.
And the insurance, yeah, this one's not as to our finance, except for $5,000. Our deductible is $5,000.
Okay. Any further discussion on this contract?
Can we hold this just for a second, Richard? I personally think you should change, replace a few of them, but I'm all game for just doing the one. Oh, no, that's okay. Forget it.
Well, we can. I mean, we can also approve this contract and always go back and before they do the work. It's going to be 6 months before they do the work, and we can do a change order if we want to add another pile later on if something happens. But we got to be careful of how much we add, because there is rules about how much you add on it for extra work.
Yeah, for extra work without putting it back out to bid, because if somebody knew they were going to come in and do five pilings versus one piling, the other company's numbers might change a little bit.
And I remember the discussion we had when we talked about this as an information item, is we're just trying to lock in this amount.
Yes, lock in that, lock in the cost, the piling, the steel cost, all that just seems to keep going up. So the sooner we get this, we'll order the one piling and have it here. So that's done and taken care of. And so, if we want to add more to it, down the road we can find out more information and how much each additional one's going to be.
Right, and we can do that whole problem. We can do a change order to this contract if we need to. If we want to add another pile.
No, it's okay. I was just thinking something's fine.
Okay. Cool. Just a general question. This is a new contract. Did you write it? Did our legal write it, or how did it come about?
Legal provided that whole form, and then they inserted the information from the quote, and then they reviewed it, asked me some questions. I answered them. They had put it in there, that they reviewed it again, and they provided it to us. So
this is going to be a standard?
I would like to have that as a standard format, because it covers all the legal procurement policies of the state of Oregon. So,
Gary, if I could add, this is James Walker over at Miller Nash. If I could just add, the intent is to have this serve as a form that the port can use on similar scopes going forward. Probably the biggest update or change is that there have been some adjustments in some of the required provisions under the public contracting law over the last 2 years, and so we wanted to make sure those were captured, and we had some good correspondence with Gary in making some other updates that benefit the port. But this would be the form that we would recommend using going forward.
Okay. All right.
I make a motion to approve the Billeteer Marine Small Construction Project contract to remove and replace the broken pile in the Basin 2 at ODOT Tender Number 22.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. That brings us to the Boatyard Warehouse Engineering Report.
All right. So Jack Aiken provided his final recommendations, which included a second opinion from a structural engineer on the existing warehouse. Jack, I think Jack is online, right? I reminded him.
No, he is.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he is there. Sorry. Sorry, Jack. He's there. Sorry.
Well, Jack's on the line if the board has any questions for Jack. Does the board have any questions on his report or what his recommendations were?
I have a question. He says an option to us would be to condemn it. Does he condemn it? Would we condemn it? Or how does condemning it happen?
Well, those options, I threw those out. That's one of his options per se.
Okay.
But those are mine just thrown out to the board as a few options that we could be looking at. So I don't recommend that option.
To directly answer your question, I believe as owners, it's up to us to condemn it. And certainly based on an engineer's report, I think that would be the guidance we would use to condemn a building.
So it's not state, county, building code, or anything like that. It's the port. We make that decision.
Along the same lines as the Old Pacific Seafood Dock, an engineer came out and looked at it. He recommended be shut down and access be stopped to it. And then so the port said, we're condemning it, stop the use of it, and put a fence around it. So it's up to us that who makes the final decision. We just get opinions on it, and we make the decision.
Well, I think the options that are laid out here for us are pretty realistic. You know, continue to rent the space and then follow EMC recommendations, which is essentially we'd be sort of rebuilding the building and doing, you know, biweekly inspections or bi-monthly inspections and all those sorts of things. I don't know that in my view that makes a whole lot of sense, to be honest with you.
Well, my concern too is with the two reports, knowing the condition that building is in, by allowing tenants to stay in there, does that not raise the liability to the port? Knowing what we know now,
we
have it documented?
I would think if you have a known structural defect that's been evaluated by an engineer and you fail to take action on it and there's a casualty as a result, I would suspect that there's probably more than just a little legal exposure.
Do you want to hear from James on that?
I mean, I'm sure James can tell us that also.
Do you have anything to add there, James?
Yeah, I think that I'd want to take a look a little closer to further advise on the extent of the liability, but there's a, kind of one of the primary standards that would be applied is kind of a negligence standard, and the primary exposure that we'd be concerned about are tort claims against the port. There is some protection, you know, based on the reasonableness standard used in negligence as far as if the port is actively, you know, working with a known structural defect and there happens to be some sort of damage incurred while remedying it. There's some protection that the law provides, but the timeline isn't endless. It's not limitless. So there has to be a level of expediency in actually repairing the defect.
Okay.
What does it generate in income in a year, the Blue Building?
Well, the warehouse now is about $4,300 a month that brings in revenue. If we put in a new building, it's going to be close to $7,200, what my estimates are, which...
Depending on the size.
I mean, the size I'm looking at now is going to be about $7,200, but, I mean, that's based on the board's approval and everything else. If the board wants to go put a new building in and go for a loan, the new building would pay for a loan itself.
So the $4,200, that recognized the reduced rate we're giving Kenny?
Yes, that's the reduced rate.
You recall when we leased the boat shop to him, or the area for the boat shop, we told him we're not going to charge you the regular rate because this thing is in such a bad state of repair. So...
He's paying about half our rate.
Okay.
And there is more problems. This is structural. There's electrical issues that we have problems with, you know, we keep our tenants in there, we're going to have to look at updating the electrical part of that entire building too. So there's multiple issues that Jack had noted.
Well, I can't speak for anybody else, but it looks to me like this is a pretty straightforward decision. I don't think we have much choice but to tear that building down. The choice we have after that is to replace it or not. And, you know, just speaking from the utility of maximizing the benefit of Port property, I think it would make a lot of sense from my perspective to rebuild a structure there that would provide even more storage than we have now and provide the community an opportunity to have something they don't have right now, which are large storage units, large work areas. I don't know, are you aware of anything of any size that's available for shops?
I want to talk to Travis about it. I think we should do like we talked about a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sharon brought up to me that whatever, you have to contact them before you get a loan, Gary, or something. I don't know much about that. I'm just...
Yeah, we do. We got to check with, you know, once we put something together, we're going to have to check with them and see if they're going to accept us accruing more debt with them, which I think with what we have in the numbers that we have, I think it's a doable thing, but it is something that we have to check with them with.
How long does that take, you think?
I think it could be relatively quick, but, you know, depending on how fast we want to push it, Gary can probably answer those IFA questions better than I can, but...
Well, the first step, I need the direction of the board. If the board wants to go after a new building and a new loan, then I'll be sending this information. Well, yeah, we'll be looking, asking Business Oregon if we can get more debt. Then, it's kind of... Do I have to bring it back to the board first before I go to Business Oregon, or I just go to Business Oregon? So it's kind of a decision you guys can make if you just want me to carte blanche, put out this just a conceptual idea of the new building and size and what the income could be so that we can get an answer from Business Oregon. The last time we got a loan was at the RV park, and they told us then if we couldn't get a private loan, come back and ask them because they would probably give us a loan to do the RV park. So I'm kind of expecting the same kind of answer. It's like, if you can't get a private loan, come reach out to us again. So
they've been really great with us. I mean, we've met our obligations and then some, so they've been pretty good about working with us. And, I mean, it just boils down to the shop sizes, making sure that the income that we can make off is going to pay the bill and, you know, just prove making your case.
Well, I think that's what the issue of more debt to me. I'm not anxious to take on more debt, but it revolves around how we're going to pay it back and what is our reasonable certainty of being able to pay that off. So in the case of the RV park, we were pretty clear that just by adding 8 new sites, we would have enough income from just those 8 new sites to pay that loan comfortably. And so if we instruct you to go ahead and tear this down or at least seek lending to purchase or build a new building, that would factor into it as, well, I don't remember what we called it, but you have a term for that. That
return on investment.
You know, return on investment sort of thing. So that will be part of it. And that would probably dictate what kind of a building we would end up with, I would guess.
But that and how much we have to charge for it, you know, per square foot. With it going, you know, all of our rates that we have right now, depending on what we build, what we wanted, and what the cost of that comes, it might open up a new rate category for that to make sure that, you know, we can pay the bill for what we have and we're going to make enough money. I mean, it's just going to depend on what the total cost of those buildings are going to come to and how many tenants you have.
Sure, but I'm sure right at least at the outset, you would probably look at charging the same amount we do right now per square foot and see where that takes us. If that's adequate to pay the loan, then we'd be in good shape. If not, then we could discuss
what offering you might have to do.
Right. Okay.
Do we know if the current tenants would Can we give them preference to come back? Do they want to come back? Are we going to lose tenants in the process? I mean,
I would offer the tenants first choice to go into that new building. If they choose not to, then it's filled up with other people that want it.
And I'm assuming Kenny would want to come back with the boat shop, but I don't.
Yeah, we've talked with Kenny, you know, about it, you know, making sure that if we do this, that the space that he has is going to be enough for him to be moving into. The next building over is the Pacific Hooker, which is, you know, kind of through Pacific Seafood in a roundabout way, and they need the storage area and room. I'm sure Joe needs the storage area and room, and the guy with the hotel there across the street, he actively uses that area for a lot of his storage. And, you know, another thing that has been in the back of our head and why we want to look at more storage is once our FEMA projects take off and area starts getting limited of what they have, totes, other type of equipment like that, that there's going to be access to buildings and locations that they can put that into if they so choose.
What is the difference between leasing a piece of ground with store craft pots on and an inside storage like this per square foot?
Well, it's 10 cents a square, well, it's going to go up to 10 cents a square foot for on the ground. And then storage, I think, shop is 54 inch or 58 cents.
Okay.
40, I don't know, now I'm kind of guessing at the rate. It's lower than 58
cents. Storage, I can't remember what I did, so. Probably,
look it up there,
Daniel. I don't think it's 40, I think it's a little less than 30.
40 cents.
I can't remember.
Ringing a bell.
Well, we have a rate for shop. And we have a rate for storage.
I got a boat.
That's the only two rates we got. Shop and shop is 58 cents. So I remember I'm using that on our numbers.
And I'd be real careful. Me personally, I would be very careful about it. With these new buildings of saying that they're storage when we're going to be setting them up more for shop space, I guess, the electrical, the lights, the roll-up doors. You know, these buildings that we're putting up are not per se storage units. They're going to be more directed in the shop atmosphere, working. It's going to be in our boatyard. So I'm not saying storage is out, but that's not really the intention that I'm seeing right now for these areas, given the amount of changing that we're going to be doing in the commercial fleet, possibly needing places. I mean,
I would be building
storage would be, I'd be more concerned leaning towards our storage units that we're looking for in the future as storage versus the boatyard area, trying to classify that more as shop space as much as possible.
So, dumb question. I'm not sure about this, but would it be to our benefit? You know, we're already talking the design, and we don't need to get that far, but just curiosity, would it be to our benefit to have a large area that people could pull a boat into and grind on it and paint it and then charge them an appropriate fee for that space?
You mean like the port own one of these sections and have a space available to do that? It's an option. I mean, we don't really have the areas right now to do that. My concern would be that much shop space or storage space with the little bit of demand that we have to actually utilize that on a private basis and basically utilizing it on trailers. You know, just it would have to be a trailer-sized boat that would have to go in there. If we had an open building and we just weren't doing anything with it, I would say that, but I would be concerned about how much money you're not going to be making, the demand.
Well, it's just because I know Ilwaco has a large building that you can take a travel lift in, do your boat in there and finish, crash it. And I'm just thinking about issues we've had before, but we don't need to talk about that here so much as what we're going to do.
Well, you know, one of the tents that we've looked at, I know we're getting off, but one of the tents we've looked at to be able to put the travel lift in, $60,000
60 for the
call it big top.
Put it in the top cover.
And if you want to build, put storage containers, that's $1,000.
So we might I think between $60,000 to $80,000, you could find something that you could get that travel with in and present that, and have that as a fixed station versus, you know, you would make that if that building was rented in 2 years, you know, $60,000 ish in 2 years, maybe 3 years ish, depending on the size. But I would just be concerned about the demand for it. It's the same reason I'm concerned about spending $60,000 to $80,000 for the travel to go inside something and give it, is what's that cost going to be and what's the demand for it.
Okay, well, let's deal with the issue, and that is, we have a recommended motion here. There are four options listed, so what is the desire of the board?
So my recommendation is to seek funding for a loan immediately, and then come back to the board with a plan and discuss what the building's going to look like and rough estimates of the cost, and then build a new building while the tenants are still in the old building, and when the building gets completed, then they just transfer right over to the new building and demo the old building. That's kind of my idea of a construction timeline.
So for right now, what we're going to talk about here is board direction to have you go out and seek funding and come up with a conceptual idea of what this building's going to look like, not the final.
Right.
But just enough to get a conceptual idea of what kind of fees we might charge and income we might make from it. It will continue to operate as it is until such time as we come back and decide whether we are going to actually seek a loan and then go forward.
Yes.
So this is just direction to you to go out and get started with this.
Yes, and I'll work it as fast as I can on getting answers from Business Oregon and any private lending, and hopefully come back to a special meeting to discuss this again and move forward.
So just to be clear on the record, we're not making a decision on the building. We're making a decision on directing you to go look for the feasibility part of this and the funding.
Yep.
Okay.
So the existing motion we're looking to make is not to condemn or do anything like that, just...
I'm going to make a motion. I think I got it. One thing first before I make a motion. How concerned is anyone about Al walking into my shop and going through the restroom or something, and being worried about him getting hurt or something falling?
As of right now, I don't think there's anything at risk of that. Can we just follow what our engineer says and do weekly inspections, monitor what's happening, and if anything continues or does get worse, we will look at that right now.
I know his buddies is a little... Iffy,
well, I put new posts underneath those trusses to temp it up right now. I think everything is okay, but, you know, that's why we're here speaking that.
Okay. I think I got it. I make a motion to approve the port manager to immediately seek funding in the new boatyard building. Continue as operated as is. Provide to the board the funding source, a plan of type of building, potentially design, and location of the board for board approval. Time is of assessment due to the condition of the building.
Okay. Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Karen, you're not saying much. Do you have anything you want to say about this specifically?
No, I have met with Terry before I got sick, and he covered it very well with me and on board, and as long as liability is covered as far as the condition of the building and the people still being in there, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We have motion and second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, as I have occasionally, I'll just take a moment here to stop and think about what we've just done. We aren't done with it yet, but we're headed there. This is another fairly significant thing, I think, for the port. I guess we're just kind of reacting to the realities of the age of the facilities we've got, but nonetheless, if we were to carry forward with this, this would be another major project here.
So if I may, I'd like to add one more thing. I would like to try to get this building done kind of in conjunction with the FEMA project with paving the boatyard. Kind of might be two separate contractors doing it, but it would be nice to have everything done at the same time.
Well, it would make a lot more sense to not pave over an area we're going to jackhammer back up and pour a slab on. Also makes sense to jackhammer out the slab and pave over that once.
Right. Yeah. And I've talked to Jack to make sure that we're not paving where this new, potentially new building might go. And it's still something we need to go talk to the board and make sure what our idea is good with the board. So.
Okay. So that brings us to item C, the Richard Cortez delinquent account write-off request.
All right, Richard Cortez, he started his boat and trailer storage with a port in 2017. His account routinely had late payments. His account ended up going past 90 days. That's when the port acted and took his account then to collections for the storage dollar amount. And then we found out his boat was not worth anything. Two inboard boaters in it. One was gone, the other one was tore apart. It sat there, I think, the whole time. He stopped responding to us. We ended up demoing the boat, and now this cost of demoing the boat is in front of you now to take two collections. So this will be the second collection item going to him. The first one was below the $1,000 that we just sent to the collections. So this is the second one going to collections.
Disposing of this.
Right.
Okay. Straightforward.
I'll make a motion to approve delinquent account write-off for $1,145.69 for account receivable submit Richard Cortez account amount of $1,445.69 to Port Collection Agency.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. So, hearing what you just told me about this boat, it kind of brings up something that just triggered in my mind. We have now some requirements about condition of moored vessels. So we need to think about condition of trailer vessels like this that show up. Just something to think about. I mean, if we're going to end up as a repository for projects, work projects underway that never get finished, then we're going to end up with this again. I don't know what kind of requirements you put in that. I'm not trying to make our life more complicated, but it seems logical to me if a guy brings in here a boat that has no motor in it, and parts of that's probably one that we're going to end up with at some point.
As much as it can possibly happen, that does not happen. As much as that can possibly stop, I mean, the best way to do that would be any new boats that come in here is to physically go out there and see them start and run and try to ourselves on every new boat. And currently we don't do that, but as time goes on, it's something that becomes more and more necessary to do, but we're hoping to get this to start stopping, get rid of these old boats, get on top of them, and not have to go down this road. So,
Al, you have a question?
Yeah, why can't you do the same thing you do to the boat that's floating in and require insurance to take care of a chump boat? Go ahead and it's abandoned.
Have the insurance company take care of?
No, when you write a lease to put a boat in your yard, make sure that they have insurance that would cover the abandonment. You do the same thing with the mortgage boat.
Typically,
right?
When you find somebody that has a boat that's abandoned, or don't want it, they also don't have registration and they also don't have insurance.
So you don't let them in there.
But that's exactly, but when everybody gets mortgage, when they first get it, they have it all. They have to have it all.
Right.
But what happens in between that year of them having mortgage, sometimes everybody has their own excuse. Everybody has their own reasons. I can't nail down exactly what it is, but sometimes this is the path it is. I don't, we could always look into it, but I really doubt you're going to find that that abandonment insurance is going to kick in very often, just given the situation of the boat.
So why do you enforce it for the boat that had mortgage?
Because if they sink, somebody has to pick them up off the bottom, and they all have an owner or a mortgage agreement tied with them. It's when typically we find abandoned boats when their mortgage renewal comes up and we don't hear anything about it. Other than that, we're not actively out on the docks seeing if people are on their boats, running their boats, working their boats. It's when their annual mortgage comes up and we want the new documentation is when you usually find out when somebody over that time period has lost interest, money, time, whatever it might be, and then the insurance falls off and
nobody has coverage.
Nobody has coverage, and that's why we haul them out.
Well, these boats are also trailerable, so our remedies are much easier with these than they are with something that's stuck in the slip that we've got to haul.
And very few times do we run into an abandoned boat type that also has a trailer with it. It almost never happens. Almost all the boats we ever run into, they don't have trailers at all.
Okay, bring us to the next one, Charles Case, delinquent account write-off. This is not the first go-around on this one, as I remember.
No, he's another account problem that we had. He's no longer has account here. He sold his boat and his gear. But in between time when we canceled his mortgage and gear storage for non-payment, he sold it. In between time, he was here and accruing charges, and then he sold the equipment, the boat, and he never paid his storage time. So this is going to collections. We've tried reaching out to him many times. We helped him out during COVID. I mean, we've been a little backwards helping him out. Now he's ignoring us. So we want to do collections.
Okay.
Motion to approve delinquent account write-off of $2,637.94 for accounts receivable and submit Charles Case. Account amount 263794 to the Port Collection Agency.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, this brings us to the charter and guideboat sign that we talked about at a previous meeting. I don't remember which one it was.
Several meetings we've talked about it. James is on mine as well. James, you want to give the board an update on your review of the leases?
Sure. Thanks, Gary. We did take a look at the lease agreement between Port and Tidewind, and we understand from the last meeting we were present at that there were some assertions by the tenant that certain provisions in the lease prohibited the Port from marketing or promoting competitors of Tidewind. We did not see any language in the lease that prohibits promotion of competitors, but we did note that there is a provision that's kind of in an addendum to the lease, it's section 6 of an add-on to the lease that does prohibit the Port from renting real property or space and the retail area to competitors. That prohibition is a bit unclear in how it's drafted, but it's tied to the tied to the rental of space to the competitors. You know, that brings up the question of whether providing space to a competitor on a sign constitutes a rental, and we don't believe so. So, although there is some kind of anti-competitive language in the lease, we don't think that it rises to the level of prohibiting the port from promoting a competitor.
Okay. All right. You want to talk about this design?
Yeah. So we got three designs that's presented to the board. I did let the designer know we want to put a map on the backside of this map. It's like a viewer here and showing basically where maybe some charter boats are in the basin. It's basically going to be a map of the port, like on page 99, with you are here, and maybe another dot of where the boats are at. I think the board just needs to decide on what style of sign that we want to go with, and the potential locations. On locations, I would just recommend we put one at the boat launch ramp and one at the RV park. My recommendation is don't put one at the retail area just to avoid any kind of conflicts, but that's my opinion with titles.
And that would certainly, this is James again, that would certainly be the minimal risk approach, if you will, to put the signs at the launch ramp and the RV park. And then it doesn't create the need to deal with some of the ambiguous language in the lease when it comes to the retail area. That would be the minimal risk approach, what Gary's described.
The only concern I have about that is, you know, I'm thinking of people who come and visit the port, and I'm not sure how many of them would end up over by the launch ramp. They clearly all are going to be focused on the retail space as they come through here. I suspect a lot of them will drive down toward the ocean and look at that, so that's probably a good location, but at the moment, that's just my only concern. But we may not get the coverage from all the public with just two signs.
Or put the third sign at the office area, the port office,
or the new boardwalk area, you know, with it. Grass and that concrete that was somewhere more along the boardwalk and away from the retail areas in a parking lot.
Well, I was thinking more out on the highway there by the office, yeah. Somewhere out there.
Right, or the Harbor Road.
Right.
It just common sense seems that there'd be one out there by the office directing people. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do with all the existing, how many do we have out there? I didn't realize there's like, and there are like three of them.
There's three existing, but it's mainly for the retail businesses for them.
Will all stay and we'll add these two?
This will be just specifically for charter and guide boats.
Right.
The ones that we have are more angled at the businesses here that are currently leasing from the port.
Now, so would charters be on all the signs or just the new signs?
Just these new signs, just charters. Our signs that we have out there currently are just for our leasing.
Do we need verbiage so that future sport boat company owners don't say, hey, I want my sign on your...
We could. I would say that's up to you guys. I would, if anybody came to me and said that, I'd say we specifically have a charter and guide slot for you to be able to promote your business. And if you rent a said retail property from the port, we have alternative signage for you to be able to put up, but that's not what those are.
I would probably recommend that we have some kind of a written agreement. Whoever wants to go on these signs, that they sign some kind of a release. We can have that come back to the board.
I agree. I think that if we're going to do this, we need a clear structure that says it is our intent that this is where you will advertise your business, you know, on port property. conditions for going on here are this. I don't care, you know, your sign is limited to this size, it has to be this format. And if after a year you haven't renewed your agreement with us, the sign comes off. The idea behind all of this was for the port to be able to have management of this whole thing, so that we didn't end up with signs everywhere that were new, old, you know, whatever the case may be. So that would be what I would expect out of this, is an agreement that says here.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah, because it seems there are some very adamant charter companies that I think will try and push if we don't.
Well, there's going to be questions, certainly, of people who have large operations saying, well, I ought to get more space than a guy who's got a six-pack. But I think under this circumstance, we'd be much better off to have everybody pretty much the same thing. Have the map on the back. If they want to make, you know, if the public wants to make some determinations of where they want to go, then they can go look at the boats, because we're going to tell them where those are, or they can go to the various buildings if they have their own retail space someplace, like a couple of them.
Right.
But
something that,
excellent.
Like an agreement that we charge for to put these up there?
No.
No, it's just an agreement saying this is where your sign goes.
Yep.
Where it goes.
Put guidelines down exactly what the sign's going to be, for how long. Might be the time limit on it too. But that'd be something I work with James and getting the draft for you guys to look at.
I would think it should be a time certain. So if you're going to put a sign up, that our agreement's good until this date. At the end of that time, if you want to leave the sign up, get a hold of us and tell us that you want to leave it up. And we're going to actually make the signs, right? So we'll have control over what's going to go on there.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
So we are going to be promoting businesses that are not on port property, correct?
Well, it's only promoting people that are paying the charter fee that use the port. So it's part of the fee.
This is part of the fee that they're paying for.
Right.
So if a person... somebody from Gold Beach that launches on the road and just wants to be able to put their name and phone number on there, this is for actively paying customers out of port. Right?
Well, it says on the sign, Port of Whiskey Harbor, charters and guys.
I understand that. It's just
my assumption or my thought here is that if you are a charter guide person who's licensed at the Port of Brookings Harbor, either as a barge holder or not a barge holder, here you are.
And so that when the sign gets made, we make it, we call the sign people, they make it, we come out and we put it in, and that the cost of that sign and installing it is all coming from the $300 that they're paying.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I just want to make sure I understand.
And well,
that's my intentions anyways.
Probably also have to make it clear to them is, okay, so pick your spot. Tell us where you're going to be if you're going to have a boat here for people to come get on.
If they have moorage. They may not have moorage.
Well, if they have moorage, we're going to have a map that's going to show you where these boats are.
Right.
If not, then you'll have to call up and make arrangements as you do anyway for somebody that picks you up at the dock. But.
Okay.
All right.
So I guess this motion is picking which sign. If the board's ready to make a decision which sign to go with, and then the locations. If we want to go two or three, and put particular locations. I guess the location is a roundabout. We can always talk about exact locations later on. So kind of give you the roundabout idea of what the cost is going to be for these signs too. We want two, we want three, and we can go back to the designer and figure out what the cost is going to be. Because we may be pitching in some of the cost that the Oregon Coast is putting in $10,000 towards all this.
So do we want to pick a designer?
Yeah, we should pick a designer. That's going to be part of the motion.
Okay. I'm pretty easy. I like one, but I'll go with just about anything.
Just to be contrary, I like three because I like the waves.
I changed.
Hello. I like number.
You cut out on your number.
Did you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can. You got the number and then you disappeared. We were all hanging here waiting for the answer.
Number three.
Well, I'll change
that. Well, did it go through?
Yes, we got it. Thank you, Sharon. Do you have a preference, Joe?
Oh, it don't matter to me.
I would probably defer to Sharon. She knows probably more aesthetically messed up than I do, but I like three.
One thing I would that I see with number three is white. White's a tough color down here. Moscow's. The dark blue is what we made our other signs that we have out here for the retail businesses. They're dark blue and white along this line. It seems to hide dirt and mud and everything and moss a little bit better. Just taking that into consideration of how much we're going to be cleaning the white and how dilapidated it looks. But I know you guys don't have to clean them.
Well, I mean, that's something to think about. If you've already got dark blue in there and it's piled up well and it doesn't deteriorate, then...
Just white is just a tough color.
Maybe we can put some white waves, lines, wavy lines in the blue area.
What would be staff's recommendation? Which one does staff like?
I like two, but...
Okay. Are you hearing this, Sharon, the discussion about durability and cleanliness? We're not hearing you, Sharon.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
So the Travis raised the issue about the white field on number three and the fact that that's fairly hard to maintain because it tends to get nasty looking. Their recommendation based on signs we have here already would be number two.
That's fine. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I do.
Okay.
And we're going to place them out.
We're going to do two or three signs.
You want me to make a motion?
Sure.
I don't normally do that, but I will.
Oh, we'd love, I'd love for you to.
Joe, what did you say?
Good.
I make a motion to approve sign concept number two for the tour and guide sign to be built and installed at the boat ramp adjacent to the port office and the RV park.
I'll second that.
As discussed, to and allow the port manager to supplement the cost of these signs with Oregon Coast Visitors Association.
Second.
Can I ask one more thing? Add a motion to direct me to make policy or
okay. So let's do this as motion one.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second. Again, the sign number two. The installed at the RV park along Lower Harbor Road near the port office and at the boat launch. I got those back. Okay. So that's motion number one. And now.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay. So motion number two would be to direct the port manager to develop a policy document regarding the installation of the signs, the duration of the agreement, and that sort of thing, with the understanding that the signs will be provided by the port based on either being a mortgage holder or a non-mortgage holder licensee.
Basically comes back to anybody that's paying our charter and guide fees.
Right.
Second time.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on that. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay. That concludes the action items. That brings us to the information items, the April stormwater test results and Tier 1 report.
All right, this test is our second stormwater test that was completed on April 4th. We have to do four tests every year, calendar year. Two of them have to be done the first 6 months, and then we have to do two more the second 6 months. So this is the second required one in the first 6 months. And the Tier 1 reporting, I had to do a Tier 1 report on aluminum that was tested over the benchmark in our gear storage area. We didn't have a problem the previous test that we've had where the previous problems went with the Tier 2. Tier 2 is being corrected. Tier 2 is an engineered fix. Tier 1 is what the port needs to do to try to rectify. And after a one-year time period, if we don't rectify this aluminum issue, it's going to go to Tier 2. Hopefully the paving is going to correct all this anyways, and what we plan on doing would probably fix it. But potentially we might go to Tier 2, then we have to spend time and effort with a Tier 2 report anyways. That's how they operate. But anyways, that's the Tier 1 report that we had on our last test.
Where did that come from?
Aluminum?
Yeah.
Aluminum boats,
tanks, grinding flakes of it, you know, anything. It's really, water quality testing is very difficult to achieve. I've seen in places where they fail from the roof that comes off of the metal, the water that comes off from metal roofs that has to be treated. And you know, a lot of play, I've seen a lot of arms, they'll have their downspouts piped right into a tank that then they got something in there that will take out the aluminum or galvanizing or whatever heavy metals that might be coming off from it to be able to pass their test.
Okay.
I know it sounds bad, but it's the truth.
Well, it's the real world. Like it or not, there's nothing we can do about it, basically. Well, we could totally ignore it and then have the consequences, which I assume would be to shut the port down, basically.
Or fine. There'd be fines. There would be finding you out of the market, basically, if you're doing what you're doing.
Okay.
They don't want the right?
All right. Any further comments on the stormwater testing? Have any commissioner comments?
I would like to thank Danielle for hand typing all the minutes. Does a wonderful job.
Okay, Travis, I do have something to say.
Okay.
About the golden key. Travis, not you, Travis, do you know the Travis? He's been in contact with me for a while. And he wants you guys to, I don't know what's the big deal about the boat being there right now, but he can't move that boat for probably 2 weeks, 4 weeks max. He says June 15th, he'll have 3 weeks off. He's not behind any payments or anything, is he?
I would have to check. Like I said, I mean, when we made the selection of the boats that were staying, it first went by account history. You know, have their payments been on time? Are they regular good payers? And then it went off from that, you know, what's the condition of your boat? How often is it used? How often is it moved? So there's a good chance he didn't make that cut, but there is some people that can't get their boats out, and then that just hurts them to call me, and I'm more than willing to figure something out. But these deadlines have been looming for most of these boats that have been told to get out for a long time. So if I do make an agreement for anything longer and he says what it is and it doesn't happen, then it won't be as easy for us to make more arrangements for him. But he just hasn't called me, so I don't know.
Do you want me to have him call you?
But that's the best thing to do if they're running into any issues or can't do something is to just call me.
Because from what it says here, when it's a little thing here, that the port was going to take the boat and probably have it destroyed.
I would, if I have an owner and somebody that they're talking to me, I would never do that. Has he been talking to April? I haven't talked to him, so I have no idea. I just have no idea. I mean, so a lot of people, you know, that do have these issues sometimes, they, I don't know why, but it never makes it to me. So if I give him my phone number, he can call me anytime, and if it's a doable situation, I would definitely work.
Because I'm pretty sure full intent he wants to move the boat. Just he's fishing, he's in Morro Bay right now.
If, like I said, if he calls me and he has, you know, whatever it is, and we have a new date and an end in sight, then I'm more willing to work with him.
All right, thanks, Travis.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next regular meeting date will be Wednesday, June 15th, 2022, at 2 p.m. in this room. With that, we will adjourn the meeting.
Goodbye.
I'll look into that a little bit more.
I know it's bad. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Well, there's another possibility. So total, we kept 20 votes.